It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. In Wisconsin and across the nation, thousands of organizations that provide services to victims of violent crimes rely on federal dollars to help fund their programs, things like crisis support, legal advocacy, and counseling.
But the federal government's payout through the Crime Victims Fund has been declining for years. And then last year, Congress cut spending in the fund by $700 million, which is putting a strain on local organizations that rely on these grants.
According to the state's Justice Department, more than 100 Wisconsin groups supporting domestic violence survivors were awarded grants last year from this funding pool. Two of those groups join us now.
Megan Lee is Communications and Development Director for Judicare Legal Aid, providing services to low-income people in northern Wisconsin and Native American communities. Megan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Cheryl Cotto is here as well, Executive Director of the Rainbow Project. That's a Madison nonprofit focused on trauma and grief counseling for young people who've experienced violence in their communities. Cheryl, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Cheryl, let's start with you. Can you take us through your annual budget and how dependent the federal government's Victims of Crime Act allocation is?
Well, you know, we've been, we're entering our 45th year of service to the community here in Madison-Dayton County, and it's always been a challenge. What has happened is the increase in demand for services, and so it is all the more exemplified that the VOCA dollars that we're talking about are critical, very critical to being able to serve the families that are waiting to be served.
Megan, what is most impacted through this decline in VOCA funds?
I think direct services for victims of crime, whether that's, you know, the civil legal aid that we provide or the services provided by our domestic violence and sexual assault providers up in northern Wisconsin.
Are survivors falling through the cracks? What do you see?
Unfortunately, yes. I think, you know, we have a longstanding project that had been funded through VOCA funds. It was an award-winning victims' rights project that was unfortunately defunded with this last kind of grant cycle. So that means that, you know, victims of crime that are trying to navigate the criminal legal system are having to do so alone. We are having to turn away people and not be able to take cases that we otherwise would have taken under this project in the past.
And Cheryl, can you step back for a moment and explain why we're seeing such a steep decline in dollars, this funding relying on federal prosecutions?
That's a good question. I am concerned because systemically, we need all the areas of service to respond to victims. We have 40 to 70% of our families are involved in intimate partner violence. And we have programs as well for the children who are exposed to this domestic violence. And untreated trauma is really what leads to more severe problems. And so I am not sure if it is because there's not an understanding of how systemically each of these levels of services are critical, including crisis. But I think politically there are challenges to helping understand. We do our training in community outreach, and over 45 years have actually seen a change in the public's response to understanding domestic violence, not blaming victims. But I'm not sure if that is across the board. And so I'm concerned about not being able to see the benefits long term as well for supporting these services that are so critical. We were one of the first in the nation to really work at children who have been exposed and witnessed to break those cycles. So I think it's a combination of the political lack of understanding of this issue that is actually increasing.
Megan, your thoughts on the fluctuation in the funding from year to year?
I think it has been something that we've seen coming. We were aware that, you know, growing, I guess, issues with collecting that money through federal prosecutions was going to impact the ability of our Department of Justice to distribute VOCA-funded grants. But I think what really was shocking was the amount of the decline from, I think it was about 2.4 million in grants that they could distribute every year down to about 426,000. That was really shocking to a lot of people. I think that has changed a little bit. We saw from our organization saw $300,000 annually in grant funding from the Department of Justice, and that's down to about 100,000. So thinking about, for our organizations, how steep of a decline that was and how that extends to so many other organizations who have, very critical needs to provide services. And really, that means that victims are not able to access services necessarily in their communities, and having to go to other counties. That's something we've seen up here where, 24-hour hotlines are no longer operated at all of the different agencies up here. So people are having to try to seek out help through other counties or waiting. So, when that critical kind of period is when someone is trying to escape an abusive relationship, if they're not able to get the help that they so desperately need, that could lead to worse outcomes for them and, definitely puts them at risk.
We're talking about changes to federal grants funded by the Victims of Crimes Act, that's known as VOCA. Megan Lee there, Communications and Development Director for Judicare Legal Aid in Wisconsin. Cheryl Cotto is here, Executive Director of the Rainbow Project in Wisconsin. Cheryl, this is budget season. Wisconsin has a multi-billion dollar budget surplus. How could you envision lawmakers step in here with policies, perhaps to create some stopgap funding when the federal funding isn't coming through?
Well, I hope that that's something that we will be able to do. With the demand for service, the increasing caseloads, the increasing waiting lists, we do have to stop and really think about advocacy at all levels to really help promote and understand the impact. When we're talking about crisis and shelters who are having long, long waiting lists, we're looking at each part of the system that is being taxed more and more and more. And so our waiting lists have grown. If we're talking about concerns about community violence, gun violence, and crime, we really need to think about how we're really helping our communities be able to break those cycles and also be able to have the support that is needed at the right time. It's really the right service at the right time. And it can be very devastating.
How long do people stay on waiting lists? What do you see there?
Well, unfortunately, we've had up to 6 months waiting list. And it really depends. We are trying to make sure that we are hiring more folks to be able to handle that. But I think the fallback is working together with community centers and schools and early childhood programs to really uplift all levels so that they are very much more able to respond as well to trauma and providing the support that's needed. But it is, again, having that right service at the right time that concerns us because those folks are coming forward asking for help and we're not able to do it. And that's very difficult to experience.
Megan, how might the state be able to step in this moment when you look at legal aid and the needs in northern Wisconsin?
Yeah, so my understanding is that in the Department of Justice budget that was submitted to the governor's office, there was a line item for kind of making up this VOCA gap or the shortfall that happened. So that is definitely part of it, and making sure that, whatever the legislature does for the budget does include some services, some funding behind providing these really critical services, whether that's through like community service providers that provide advocacy or through civil legal aid. We have found it incredibly important to pursue funding for civil legal aid. That is something that we advocate for in every single state budget. It has not happened yet, and Wisconsin is incredibly behind on that front. Just providing $0 in general purpose revenue to civil legal aid versus other states like Texas providing $33 million in their budget for civil legal aid. So Wisconsin is falling behind, and there's really an opportunity for the legislature to, you know, think about what their constituents need and what would be really beneficial for them, which includes, you know, putting money behind civil legal aid and advocacy services so that, you know, those most at risk are able to get the help that they need.
Do you have waiting lists in advocacy services and in civil legal aid needs?
So we don't necessarily have waiting lists, although we do turn away people who we're not able to help. So we turn away about every 3 out of 5 eligible applicants each year. So that's people who are otherwise financially eligible and have a legal issue that we would generally help with. But we have to turn them away because we do not have the capacity to provide them services, unfortunately.
When they don't have that legal representation, does that diminish their ability to reconcile the needs of a survivor?
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, our legal system is really, you know, something that is really designed to be successful for someone who is navigating it with an attorney. So trying to deal with more complex issues or, you know, an abuser using the legal system to further abuse someone who might have escaped from that relationship is something that we unfortunately see quite a bit. So having an attorney in their corner is a really great way for survivors to be able to, you know, use the legal system, navigate the legal system, and try to limit the amount of abuse that is happening through the legal system.
Well, Megan and Cheryl, thank you for sharing about the situation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
That was Megan Lee, Communications and Development Director for Judicare Legal Aid. They're operating in northern Wisconsin and in Native American communities. And Cheryl Cotto, Executive Director of the Rainbow Project in Wisconsin. Both nonprofits received grant awards funded by the Federal Victims of Crimes Act. We talked about the decline in federal funding and how it might affect their operations later this year.